guys, welcome to Mother of... No.
Welcome.
Come on.
To it's finally the Creep Dive.
Oh, hello, Laura Whitmore. I'm in the room.
No one can change your life except for you, Cass. Have you considered reading the book?
No.
You strike me as someone who would gain a lot from it.
Okay, thank you.
Now, here we are together, IRL. Can't contain our excitement to be this close to each other. How nice
so
is it?
So exciting.
Buzzing.
Yeah.
Absolutely buzzing. And listen
I'm
to that
shock.
Noise.
I thought we were going to be lying. I presumed we were lying.
We're wearing... allowed to be back in the same room together, aren't we?
I don't think so.
The two of you have been vaccinated because you're over 70 and I'm okay then.
We are allowed to be working together in the same room. Yeah, we're behind partitions.
Sure, that's AstraZeneca over there.
AstraZeneca. I can't think of anything quickly enough. All I came up there was Johnson and Cassie.
I love it.
What's the other one? Begins with an M. Not AstraZeneca.
Not Johnson and
Johnson. Not Johnson and Johnson, but My Wadi.
My Wadi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you.
Flat 7-Up. Solving everything.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
We are allowed to be together. We're in partitioned walls.
But look, it's too late now. We're in a small room together. We're behind partitions. It's fine.
They're going. The creeps will come for us.
Look, whatever. We're here now. The deed is done. What you're listening to happened a long time ago.
People and enjoy it when we're in the room together.
August Gatobin, we weren't in the room together anymore. Do you want to rustle as if we've left?
Now,
someone
did turn around to me and say, you're the only podcast I've known who've stayed in recording together this whole time. And I was like, oh, we've just done remote recordings very well. We all had nice fancy mics and the sound was good. But this is the first time back together. And
do you think it sounded much different?
Do I, as a trained audio professional, think that the audio sounded different, slightly out of sync and was a fucking nightmare?
A little from column A.
A little from column B.
We're also wearing badges that somebody sent in to us. Thank you very much. Mine says 100%, 99% rotten, The Creep Dive, Mother Pod, and she, her.
I have one that is The Creep Dive, Cassie Peg Teeth Delaney, which I'm still not that comfortable with.
This is class. This is from Celery Rose, isn't it?
This is from Celery Rose.
Okay. First name Celery, last name Rose. I will not question that and I will not seek her real name. Follow her on Instagram.
No relation to Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, mine says Sophie White writes classic creep reference. I have she, August E. So my pronouns are Asquelga. Love it. Please don't talk to me. Just love that.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Ideal.
And thank you so much to Mary for my birthday mug that I finally have 2 months later because we haven't been able to be here. It is so cool. It says knitting so I don't unravel, which is glorious.
Very kind. Very kind, Mary. Here's a quick question if you're listening and you think to yourself, I don't do the Patreon. Maybe I do. Would you like to be nice? Why don't you? Why don't you leave us a nice review on iTunes? Because the person who left us the last review on iTunes is still there as our number one review, although they changed it for 5 stars, but they're still giving out about us talking about the Patreon. So maybe if you left a nice review.
You'd hide that one.
Push it down.
And if you've left a review before, come on. And even another one, just push that one right down.
There's way right worse down. Reviews on there. Not that I'm asking anyone. Whatever. I think 5 stars, say what you like.
You are so bizarre that, like, you go there.
I get an email every time we get a review.
Oh, horrific.
Yeah.
Thank you both for protecting me from that pain. I'm getting real harsh reviews from my mother nonstop, so I deserve a break.
Yeah, I get unsolicited reviews from people all the time.
All the time.
Just in life in general.
That's called the internet. You know, it's exhausting.
Well, I don't have a creep of the week, but I do have something.
I'm so excited to give you guys my creep.
Oh, I'm
today.
Very happy with that because I went in deep on, I'll tell you about it later. But first of all, do you ever think about how women die in literature? Do you ever just think about to yourself an olden day literature? Like think of the ways they killed women.
Dropsy.
Well, yes, Sophs. Amongst other, would you like a listicle?
Of goddamn, I want.
Okay, here's
in childbirth.
No, yes, they are all that,
lost on the moors.
That is
I
more
like it. Just guessing.
Walking
this.
Into the sea.
Yes, absolutely.
Taking a turn in the garden.
Yes, Sophs. Literally, it's on my list. Yeah. Number one, cold hands. Dead. Number two, beautiful face.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. 100% dead.
We're just little.
I know myself. what a strain a beautiful face can be.
I mean, oh, really, yeah. It's a curse. No one can change
especially
your life except for
face.
You.
Especially this new face. I'm surprised I've lasted all 4 weeks with it now.
I want to touch your new face. Is it hard? Like, can I knock on it like a car bonnet?
It's porcelain. The whole thing is porcelain.
Okay, number three. Missing slippers. What about wrist fevers? Or this one I particularly liked. Night brain.
Night brain.
Yeah. Desperate. Going outside at night in Italy. Fatal. Shawl insufficiency. Anybody? Yeah. Too many pillows. Yeah. Absolute danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Garden troubles. Sophie.
Oh, yeah. Gardening. Very frightening.
Somebody saying.
Have you seen people gardening? It's people growing their gardens in their cars.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought it was like an apocalyptic fake headline, but no, it's really happening.
Just be warned. If you ever do have a plant, if you ever get a smell in your house and you're wondering what that is and you have a plant, just smell the plant.
What?
There's something happens.
I was going to say smell, and if you have a tray of fish in your house, smell the fish.
Just smell
or
the fish.
Or if you're growing mushrooms in your garden or in your kitchen.
Or in your living hot room. Press.
Yeah.
Or the hot press. Could be them. Anyway, someone saying no very loudly while they were in the room. Death to women.
Are you sure this isn't the hamster list again?
Smelling salts is on here, surely. Smelling salt to the eye.
Letter reading fits. Right? Drawing room anguish.
Where is this from?
Haven't seen the sea in a long time.
Oh.
Dead. Too many novels, Sophie. Close to the edge. Pony exhaustion.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Strolling.
Is that from being ridden like a pony or from being near
too
a
many.
Pony?
Just gathering too many into your life and then becoming exhausted by the upkeep.
I think people are riding them like ponies. That's what's happening.
Strolling congestion.
Up the petticoat.
Ship infidelity. Dead. Spent more than a month in London after growing up in Yorkshire. Sadly, she died.
I'm so sorry. I feel like Kathy's going to have trouble with my levels laughing.
No, just laugh into the mic.
Oh,
just
grand.
Stay
okay.
Near the mic.
I was trying to protect the mic from my guffaws.
Draw back. Here, next
Wait,
one.
Did they die of guffawing?
Yeah, well, I'll, we've only a few more to go. I'll let you know when it happens.
Wait, tittering would
Clergyman's
down.
Dropsy.
Oh,
yep.
I'm winning this game.
This is my favourite. Flirting headache.
It's hard.
No way. Drawing room anguish.
This is one for you, Cassie. Knitting needles too heavy.
Oh, she crochets. She doesn't even knit.
There's just one.
I'm holding a knitting needle and you've directed that to Cassie.
Here's one for me. Beautiful chestnut hair. Dead. Spinal degeneration as a result of pride. We could all be guilty of that.
It'll do it too.
Parents too happy. And to end it off, the unpleasantness. These are just ways in which women in literature have died. And it's just a delight.
That's pushed me to nearly hamster edge in terms of amusement.
It's a
now,
fucking delight.
Who wrote that list? Where did you find it? It's brilliant.
Found it on the internet. No author. Found it on Reddit. Thank
Class.
You to if you wrote it. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
absolutely
Reddit.
Brilliant. Will I do a quick creep of the week?
Please.
Go for it.
Just going to give you the headline up top. Kevin Spacey set for return to movies.
Ooh.
With pedophilia drama.
Wow. Leaning in.
Wow.
He's leaning in.
Cheryl Sandberg.
Right down.
Sandberg?
Method. Yeah. It's so...
Do what you love. They say it, Cassie. We only talked about it there.
Do what you love. You never work a day in yes, here we go. I think I'm just gonna read it straight up. The actor who has been subject of multiple sexual misconduct allegations is to play a detective in Franco Nero's film about a man wrongly suspected of child abuse.
There we go.
Thanks. There we go.
See his
I
angle.
I think that it's kind of John Boynian. I say that because I've come by. I can't go into it. Reverse. Okay. So, Kevin Spacey, the actor who has faced numerous allegations of sexual misconduct over the past 4 years, is set to return to film acting with a small role as a detective in an Italian crime drama. Only the Italians will have him. Anyway, he's playing a police officer investigating the case of a man who, this is just too ridiculous in terms of just a paragraph of text. Here we go. Spacey, 61, will play a police officer investigating the case of a man played by the director, Franco Nero, who can draw people by listening to their voices despite not being able to see.
Right.
A blind, and is wrongly accused of sexually abusing children. So basically, a blind, it's a psychic, a blind, yeah, composite artist.
I see.
Who is wrongly accused of sexually abusing children. I think that we have several genres blended.
They're burying the lead. Why are they giving us so much information about his visual abilities and not enough about the paedophile?
But he's wrongly accused.
Well, I mean, okay.
It seems like what we have here is a supernatural drama blended with some auto fiction, the part of Spacey. And
why would he do
and this? Also a kind of a crime procedural.
Seems like a risky move back into film.
I'll tell you what it is. It's an episode of The X-Files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meets an episode of CSI.
Mm-hmm.
Meets pedos in the playground.
I mean, I'm definitely interested.
Can you believe Channel 4 made a show called Pedos in the Playground?
No jokes.
I was like, it's a little on the nose, but it sounds apt for Channel 4.
But do you remember when Louis Theroux did that? He went to, I know it wasn't called Pedo Island, but it was a jail.
Pedo jail.
It was, yeah. It was the jail for pedophiles.
Yes.
A place for pedophiles.
That was the only
horrendous
thing, and also the documentary about Munchausen's on Amazon Prime that I haven't been able to get through.
I wouldn't advise it.
And I've listened to last podcast on the left episode about the toy box killer, and I think that's the literally gold standard in terms of like horrendous.
Oh, Jesus. Well, if you're interested, that's a little recommendation for the week.
Yeah, see if you're up to it, guys, and report back.
When is this Kevin Spacey thing coming
out? Slated to appear, I think it's so far off, it's not even in this article.
Okay.
I don't think they've even
they're just testing the waters, dipping a toe, seeing what the appetite is.
Yeah, like Vanessa Redgrave's in it. Now, it's a little much to, I just don't know, would you go into it?
I don't know, who knows?
Yeah, like they're just not saying anything. They obviously asked this director, Franco Nero, like, what you doing there? And all he said is, I'm very happy Kevin agreed to participate in my film. I consider him to be a great actor and can't wait to start the movie. Just robotic.
Do you think he was cheap as chips? Like, do you think it was like, Kevin, we do this for...
Yeah. Yes. Does anyone remember that mad shit where he did the clip a couple of years ago of him as Frank Underwood? Was it doing a Christmas greeting?
It was set up like a Christmas greeting public announcement in which he refuted the allegations. Didn't he? Wasn't he like...
Sorry, in character?
Yes.
That's weird.
Do you remember this?
Hang on, I've actually got it here. Wait a minute. It was a self-shot Christmas video, and one in which he played Frank Underwood, his character in House of Cards, and he basically addressed in this video Netflix's decision to kill Underwood off, as well as the sexual assault claims against him, as you say, Cassie. His last video from last November sought to reassure those contemplating, trigger warning, suicide because of the negative impact of the pandemic. He told them, quote, it gets better. Does he mean the pandemic's going to get better? Pandemic's about to drop.
I don't think we should be taking our news or our advice from Kevin Spacey.
He did, in a recent podcast, draw a direct line between his own situation and those whose lives have been destroyed by coronavirus.
Right.
Safe to say we should vote him off the island.
To the island with him. Vote him onto the island.
Luckily, Cassie has a delight.
I do have a delight. Do you want to hear how this came about? I'm glad you asked. So today I was doing some research.
Good to hear it.
You know, what's her name? Your one who predicts popcorn, Faith Popcorn, who's a futurist.
Never heard
and
of
her. And she predicts these trends. She's based in America and like she predicts the coming trends for the next few months and years in tech and life and general and all this kind of stuff.
In terms of astrology or like
no, in terms of like she's got an eye on the zeitgeist, okay. Right? And like a lot of people
Faith
would,
Popcorn
not in,
seems
not,
a little
not
bit
a strong
Meg
name.
Matthews. Not Meg Matthews. Mystic Meg. Meg Matthews was Noel's wife.
So she, I was reading the report from, and it's like the Faith Popcorn Institution now. There's loads of people working there. And I was reading the report for the next couple of years. And there's just this one snippet that I just I was like, that's not, that can't be true. That's not going to happen.
And Peggy, it was that, are about to become huge.
It was about, yeah, it's like, no, I'll just rip off the fucking veneers. It was that by 2025, a quarter of people will date droids.
Ooh. Oh, date. Like Ex Machina. I fancied those droids in Ex Machina.
Guys,
or Ex
this
Machina.
Is 100% going to happen.
But within, but by 2025.
Ex Machina would have been a much better name for that.
Like Japan, like, they can't Machina. Force people to ride each other. No one wants to go near anyone in Japan. This coronavirus will have a knock-on effect.
So people are going to start dating robots, right?
Yes.
So then, yeah, well, then I found an article.
Guaranteed, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
I found an article from early this year, in which 11,000 people were surveyed, and it revealed that, yes, a quarter of people have not ruled out the idea of having a robot romantic partner. And I was like...
Sorry, a lot of people already have that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, wait. But there are a lot of people, right? Romantic partner is different to sexual partner.
Yes, yes. These are people who want them as companions.
Judge not.
So then I did find some interesting stories of people who were dating robots. And then it brought me onto this thing of this new AI software called GPT-3, which is...
Patchy.
Yeah, isn't it? Just rolls off the tongue. So this is a piece of artificial intelligence that can now write, and they're using it for artificial intelligence speech.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This is what these are going to be programmed with, right? And now GPT-3 is like relatively new and has 175 billion parameters. So basically scans the internet, reads everything, and then you can prompt it to create stories or conversations. So I couldn't access GPT-3, but I could access GPT-2, which is the earlier version.
Okay.
So I turned to GPT-2 and gave it some prompts about us.
Yes.
And was like, let's generate creep stories where we are the center. So I have
Cassie,
one for
you're
each of them.
Fired.
Now, are we going to hear it in the droid's voice?
No, I'm going to read it to you. So it Amazing. Creates, basically, you put in, I put in these two line prompts. And I'm going to start with, I'll start with my own. And then it generates what the news story would have been. And you can keep going until you get
Is
more
your
of
own.
It. Some of them I just stopped because like these are fucking perfect, right?
What so. About, so Cassie's own Not one should by. Be like media mogul CEO ousted by two cunts who've never done a fucking thing in their lives.
See, I wanted to go into like maybe like an alternative but not impossible reality.
Okay.
Well, actually, Sophie's, yours is the, I went to the future for yours and I went to like the alternate past.
Oh,
Jen,
yes.
I kind of was on the nose. So the prompt I gave it for me was, this is a murder mystery. In 2011, 21-year-old Cassie Delaney was out walking her dog at 7 p.m. and returned to find her husband, Martin, dead. Okay. So here on out. This is what GPT-2 has generated.
Okay.
Forensic work showed he had been shot. Detectives working on the case say there is no evidence of a sexual attack and they are not looking for a suspect at the moment. But they say they are keeping an open mind as they look for leads. Psychic, and like it goes off the chart, right? You give it that prompt and then it goes into its own creative world.
This is picking somebody's sitting beside you on the bus. You've had a 3-second interaction and they're off.
Yeah.
And you're like, right.
Psychic Sylvia Brown predicted Cassie's husband would kill himself and that she could he would not have left a note.
And that's the real Sylvia Brown.
Yeah, they pull in real.
That's right. Amazing.
When she phoned Sylvia Brown in August
Luckily,
this year,
she's never been right about anything.
Cassandra asked for advice on finding the mystery killer, and she got it. When Sylvia told Cassandra that the killer was probably a nice person who had a broken heart, Cassie replied, "My husband is dead."
Very true.
Very true. The drama
salty,
comes
like
amid
Cassandra.
The drama comes, and bear in mind, this is being learnt from the internet with like prompts. The drama comes amid a spate of murders of well-known celebrities, including TV presenter Joanna Lumley, actress Deborah Harry, and film star Faith Wilding.
Oh my God.
According to the US website of the Sylvia Brown Foundation.
Did they just say Debbie Harry is an actress?
Yeah.
Come on, G243678 or
I
whatever
know.
Your name is.
Buck up. Cassandra is also an extraordinary spiritual intuitive seer and healer and has worked with John F. Kennedy Jr., Michael Jackson, and Oprah Winfrey. She has said she has worked with Nicole Appleton on a book and a TV series about her autistic son, Archie.
She says. I love that.
The information, which is drawn from her spirit guides, allows her to connect with victims, loved ones, or guides in order to find out if there are any hidden messages in their deaths. Mother of four, Cassie said. I do an impression of dead people's voices as they did.
Oh,
if
God.
Someone tells me that they've died and they're going to be happy after that death, it was a happy death. I know they've had a good time on earth. She also had a conversation with John Lennon, who asked her whether she believed in life after death. She replied that she believed firmly in life after death with reincarnation. I asked him whether he believed in reincarnation and he said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that either, I then said. But I just thought that he was one of the most important people in my life and I would like to keep talking to him and ask him more questions. She was aware, she says, of how much pain the people she had helped through their death were in, with their loved ones around the world wondering where they had gone. She told me she was told that people who find out she was really talking to John Lennon are often upset.
Where are we now in the story?
I know, my husband has died, but I'm a psychic.
Forgotten. Four kids looking after themselves.
This is where it gets better,
right? This is where it gets with the window cracked.
Absolutely brilliant. This is not the first time that Cassie's family believe their daughter has been taken by the Grim Reaper. Her dad, Bob, said in 2011 that his daughter had been talking to spirits and that he could smell death. Police dismissed his claims as a result of his psychological problems and drug use. That's the story of my life.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Sophie, I placed you in the future. And this is the prompt I gave to GPT-2.
Okay.
Sophie White is a world-renowned best-selling author. Today,
what
she
are you doing my future? But that's the fucking present.
It's the present, okay? Today she invites
world-renowned reach.
Today she invites journalist Margaret Applebottom to her Dublin home for an interview. Margaret begins the conversation with a question about Filters, White's 17th novel, right? So that was the prompt. That was the prompt I gave it. Okay.
I would like to take this moment to set something straight. I did not want to call my second book Unfiltered. I wanted to call it Filter This Too, Huns on the Run. I was overruled by my publishers. What is that noise?
Someone's putting the alarm on because we're clearly inside a room talking loudly.
Okay. Filter. So I'm so excited that franchise has taken off.
17th novel, right? So then GP2 kicks in. Bearing in mind, I just said, Margaret begins the conversation with a question about filters, right? GPT-2. Margaret continues with the question about old school hip hop and goes on to praise the talents of Young Hathaway, who along with Jonesy from New Order was one of the first artists to experiment with samples in the late 80s. Margaret goes on to address not only the themes in Filters, but also the craftsmanship of her writing.
Margaret, shut up. This interview is about me.
Sophie then discusses her forthcoming book, Filter Perfect. Margaret concludes the interview with a great anecdote about a mythical wedding night. Then she goes,
was I involved
this
in it?
Auto-generated. Listen above or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Support our show and become a patron. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Have questions or topics or a future episode? Email us. spoke@maximumfun.org.
What is our amazing email address?
spoke@maximumfun.org.
That was
randomly generated. It was just perfect.
That is amazing. I love it.
Okay, that and then Jen. Funny. Jen, you're in a bit of legal trouble.
Oh, dear.
This is your prompt,
this
right?
This is too apt.
Jen O'Dwyer first made headlines in 2020 when a state tribunal revealed the middle-aged woman had successfully evaded taxes for a period of 25 years. During that time, O'Dwyer amassed over 217 million euro in profit from the sale of stolen Teslas. Okay? GPT-2. The tribunal ruling, which was revealed by the Irish Independent at the time, stated that she evaded paying taxes as a result of a sophisticated nature of her operation.
Nice.
Although O'Dwyer went on to come clean about her activities and being confronted by the revenue, she has still been fined $195,000. It is, however, more than her previous fine of $33,000. Her defense at the time was that her client base had dropped from 400 to the 30-odd vehicles she was selling a year due to tax avoidance. She was cleared on 6 other accounts. This week, the Criminal Assets Bureau have targeted O'Dwyer's luxurious mansion in the affluent neighbourhood of Howth. With the second case I would in the never last go 2 weeks.
You are moving up in the world.
Me
though.
And Vogue.
Howth.
Some of O'Dwyer's cars, including a Mercedes, were seized in raids on her home, as well as 4 houses in her company's name. Some of the cars were sold online car markets, and the branch and the Clonsky branch of Tesco was also raided by the Criminal Assets Bureau. In a statement, the Criminal Assets Bureau
doing the Tesco Express as well as the cars.
This was part of a criminal investigation that was in operation for several years. The purpose of this investigation is to recover proceeds of the commission of the crime, recover the proceeds of the crime generated from this offence, and address the associated and significant crimes that arise from this criminal activity. This action is part of a series of operations targeting the theft of vehicles from the revenue. It is alleged that the Dublin 8 businesswoman's illegal business saw vehicles stolen from around the country and exported to the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Nice.
Next to her mansion, a fence had been constructed around the Audi Q7 and another Audi Q7 that was parked in the Klonsky Tesco. So there you go. If you ever want to explore your alternative realities, just go to a GPT-2
Cassie
generator.
Well, the next creep live, you have to do a few for a few of the creeps that come absolutely. On the reg. Like the ones we know will be there, the ones we have like a little top line on.
Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Fair, that would be amazing.
Oh, I got such a laugh out of that today.
There's a warning up on the screen.
It's just because I refuse to sign into iTunes on that computer.
Really annoyed with you. Cassie, thank you. Absolutely.
That was amazing.
Sensational.
Oh, I was giddy.
But there's also a new thing coming out.
I'm actually.
Where you can program, you put in, it's sort of like, what do you call that when it's really good fake? Real fake?
Deep fakes.
Deep fake. And you put in anything you want. You pick a list of singers or famous people's voices. And it's hours of entertainment. Thank you. That was brilliant.
That was amazing.
Where are we at now? I have the famous, I have a very scattered, I have the Tylenol murders, basically.
Oh,
I've never remember? Heard.
I can't believe you've never heard. Every big podcast is doing it. My Favorite Murder.
Is it
Stuff You Should Know did a 2-part series on it. So it happened back in 1982 in Chicago, Illinois, birthplace of my mother. And anyway, it's in a really interesting story that I can tell you now or
Republican.
Tell you for the hive.
It's hard to look. I don't know. She's talking to me directly there. So it looks like it's my choice. Okay, so my MIDI is actually what I didn't do for the live last week.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Practical Jokes. That veered awry. Okay.
Nice. I'm in.
So we've all been there. We've all been like, this will be gas. Until. Okay. So on his last day of high school in June of 2011, an 18-year-old called Tyle.
Nice.
Tyle.
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 Kyle. Tyle. Could be Kyle.
I'm going with Tyle. Zipped up his hoodie, pulled on some latex gloves, and snuck into the girls' bathroom with a mysterious package. Believing he was trying to bomb the school, officials evacuated the building and called in the Indiana State Police bomb squad and K-9 force to dispose of the package. The package was a sex doll. $8,000 in paying for that. Very for the cautious college. Response that they had. Yes.
Sorry, was he was in the school?
Yeah.
They'd had Tyle up to their fucking eyes is what happened there, I'd say. He'd been driving everyone mad with his practical jokes. And they were like, this is it. We're going to punish him now. He's gone too far.
He's gone too far. We're going to overreact.
Yeah.
But now, not an overreaction by any stretch, because obviously high school in America... very volatile, dangerous places. Mm-hmm. And he probably was able to buy the bomb, a bomb, in Target. So very pricey. He was also arrested and charged with institutional criminal mischief.
He must have
carries up to 8 years in prison.
He must.
And it's a felony.
There's no. Okay. He must have called and said, bomb scare.
No.
How the fuck could he be charged with that?
He was going in there to have a lark with a sex doll. And they were like, we're making an example of him. And I think it's completely outrageous that he was charged with institutional criminal mischief. There's nothing criminal about that mischief.
No.
Only institutional.
Yes.
Mm. Ridiculous.
As institutional
but knowing
mischief.
Knowing American police, we're very lucky that nobody is dead after that incident.
Fair.
Good point.
Okay. Here we go. Separate incident, also in a school. High school seniors in Brooklyn made a delicious bundt cake. I have had an abiding obsession with bundt cake ever since that episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Anyone remember it?
Not often.
There was a bundt. There was a bundt. There was a bundt.
And then it turned into Joseph Gordon-Levitt, not three-barreled name.
I was going to say like Hayley Patrick's Chadwick. Chad Michael Murray.
No, very it wasn't good. Chad Michael Murray.
It was the dark-haired one.
It was the dark-haired
Jason
Chad
Patrick
Michael Murray.
Joseph.
Yeah, the one who married
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Megan Fox.
Did we say that three times already?
If you say it three times, he backwards, he appears.
Yeah. Who's that one?
There's definitely a Chad Patrick.
People are screaming it.
People are screaming it.
He did this film. It was called Can't Stop, No Breaks, or No Breaks, Don't Want to Stop.
And Chad Corey Dillon was his name in Sabrina.
Sorry, you're right. That's where we're getting off. It was Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the film.
Wait, dream date. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, as you are correct, yes, you are correct. It was Chad Corey Dillon name in the episode, played by
Brian Austin Green.
Well done.
Got it.
Yes!
Satisfaction. Now, what is a bundt cake?
It sounds delicious, chocolate iced. It was dotted with a topping of red, as they say in America,
velvet
candy. Red candy on top, that's sweets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now it sounds like actually a terrible mix. It sounds like when I let my kids ice the cake and they want to put Haribo on top of a ganache.
No.
And I'm like, no.
Disgusting.
Look at all these choices I've given you. This Haribo ganache texture is going to be not nice.
Not nice. That was clever. But a bundt cake is why? Why is it bundt? What's bundt about it?
I think it's bundt shaped.
What's a bundt?
I just made a vagina at you.
I think it's bundt shaped. Nice.
Disgusting.
Only Cassie's wearing it.
Okay. I'll just.
I just like to fap in her ears.
Google it here.
I think it's got a hole in the middle. Like genuinely, we're talking vagina cake.
Okay, cool.
Just a slice of vagine.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Bunt, let's Google it.
As we silently just record a podcast.
Yes.
ASMR.
Yes.
Chad, my
every
Murray.
Hole's a goal. It's got a hole in the middle.
Oh yeah. Bunt cake.
Bunt cake. Now, love it. A little be you next Tuesday. I've lost my time.
Be in you next Tuesday.
Hey-o.
Okay.
Or I'll
welcome
be
back
in
to it. Mother of Pod. Okay. So
I don't think that is the theme, is it?
No.
That's still the countdown theme. Every time.
Why are you focused in on me today? Stop it. Stop
ever
touring.
Since I said AstraZeneca, I'm like, Jen goes with everything. Okay, so this cake looked delicious.
Sorry, I can't remember the start of this.
Someone has made a cake.
A student made a cake in a school.
In Brooklyn, have made a cake. They put the candy on the top and altruistically dropped it off to the teacher's lounge.
Very good. Here we go.
Yeah. Educators and staff alike happily dug in. Dove in, I'd say. Almost immediately, five of them began to experience, this sounds like what would kill off a Victorian lady in a novel, mouth numbness.
Really?
Chest tightness and
oh fuck,
major tummy rumbles.
Oh.
The truth came out, along with a lot more, I imagine.
It was a bunt made of milk of magnesia.
It was a bunt made
of a blunt. Hey! A blunt cake.
Oh no! Actually, that would have been more fun, even though I don't hold with surprise drugs. Don't do it to your friends.
No, you don't do that.
That's
just drugging people. It's just, we know that's bad.
It's a hop, skip and a jump to
Bill Cosby.
Yes.
Okay, so these little, these chunks of red candy that were decorative, they thought they were decorative candy, were in fact Dulcolax. Laxative. Two victims went to the hospital.
Oh, Jesus.
Doctors said their symptoms were consistent with those of insecticide poisoning.
Ooh.
In fairness to the bakers, nobody's died from a laxative.
That was their response.
Yes. He thought it was funny. I thought it was funny too. Yes.
Aww. That is a bad idea, isn't it?
Now, speaking of bad ideas. Headline of the next one. Teens cover stop sign, kill two old ladies.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Now, did they watch that happening? Because that's the kind of prank you're going to have to stay and watch. And then you're sorry you saw what you saw.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God, yes.
Fire two owl ones right through the front screen, was it?
Oh, my God. Two separate vehicles, guys.
Oh.
So what I've got here is a picture.
Two old ladies crashing into each other.
Oh, no. So I've got a picture here, right, of a stop sign.
Can I tell you about my life?
We've been through this before. Cassie's too young.
No, I know the reference now. But I've remembered it. It's the wooden fence one. Yes, the swing set.
It is car rolling over the wooden. Yep. That's
was
what
it the swing set or was a goalie?
Oh, the goalie, yes. But
I thought he was in goals. And I bet you that dad made him be in goals all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking dad behaviour right
there.
We're
referencing a car drive safely film ad. Anyway,
it's just
carry on.
One, road safety is we're more familiar with the classic body to body that used for Samantha Mumba.
Was it just exclusively Samantha Mumba then? Just did car safety. Horrendous ads of people. Did she? Never mind.
His body is. Can I tell you about my life, Samantha Mumba?
Fleetwood Mac.
Did I mix?
Is it even? I don't know.
Was it Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I think it is.
Knocked down in the prime of his life in the goals in Westmeath.
It's Sean Paul.
Sorry, my gosh, I did. We've gone mad. Being together is actually too intense.
I need to know if it's Fleetwood Mac. But can I tell you about my life? Is that the name of the song?
It's definitely not Samantha Mumba, though. We can agree that.
But did
Thank God. It's a song called Man of the World.
But Samantha Mumba did a separate car crash ad.
Yeah, with body to body, funky to funky. But body I think they left out the funky to funky bit.
But yeah. They had to replace it with something. Otherwise, it's just body to body. Yeah,
I think that's what they did.
Okay.
So the covering of the stop sign.
So this is really traumatic for people.
Stop sign. What I'm looking at is a stop sign covered with what looks like somebody's jacket and a few rolls of toilet paper. And there is a car. It is off the road, nose down in a ditch. Arse of the car sticking up like the Titanic.
Oh, lads, that's bad luck. Now, can I say
in
the kids' defense,
manslaughter.
You can see it's a stop sign. So the toilet paper is badly covered. What they did was just TP a stop sign.
Okay, do you know what they did? Actually, there's actually more explanation here in the description. They wrapped it in several layers of cling film.
Well, that's fine.
And
see right through that.
This is a weird addition. Petroleum jelly.
They were looking to use it as a sex toy.
Yes, I think that they were looking
ambitious.
They were looking for that elusive. Is it the milking the prostate?
Oh yeah.
They
heard go high and they went high.
High and they heard wide.
Yeah.
They said we're looking for diameter and we're looking for length.
I need vertigo.
Okay. So they actually bragged about doing this on Facebook. It's not clear, but I hope it was before people died.
This is fine. This is bad luck for the owl ones. Good, clean fun for the kids. That's my take.
Now, this sounds like a bit of a defense of the kids, and I don't like it. But it says here, many motorists made it past the hidden stop sign with no problems.
Oh, that's victim blaming.
That is sounds dead like victim blaming. Yeah. Then at around 4 in the afternoon, a woman called Jean Shea, aged 80, drove past the covered sign, fair, because it's covered, and straight into the intersection, and an oncoming vehicle hit her car and killed her passenger, Mary, who was 85.
And herself?
No. Well, yeah, she died eventually, but was in...
of old age.
Jen.
Well, I'm just, they hadn't much in them. And to be honest, Jen, the point here is, and I'd like to hark back to the image that you yourself showed us, clearly a fucking stop sign. You can tell what it is.
It does look like a stop sign.
I'm going to shame you.
Oh, dear.
So hard now, all over the podcast. Shay was in critical condition, Jennifer, for 3 weeks. Her leg amputated above the knee before she finally succumbed to her injuries.
So they took off the leg and then she just died.
They like beat her to death.
That's terrible. God. You brought yourself there. No to blame but yourself.
You did that. I won't. You had a little carrot on a stick.
I won't.
You had a fiver on a string.
I didn't.
Fuck you.
You went straight in. I just nudged you at the end.
The boys pleaded guilty to reckless homicide, and let's all keep into perspective that what they did is worse than what I just said.
What? True.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Next one. Next line.
Okay, fine.
Dude kills friend with fake gun. Now that seems like a hard thing to do, actually.
Doesn't it? I'm confused.
Let's read on. So two pals. So far, by the way, we are noting no women as yet have been the perpetrators of any of these pranks.
Not to be kind of stereotypical, but are you telling me no females had a hand in the bundt cake? That just is just a kind of a gaggle of boy children.
That is an offensive stereotype.
It is.
Boys can be very good bakers. Seb, my own husband, worked as a pastry chef. He's a very great good bunt. Baker. Oh, get him into a bundt now and he'll do a great job. Poor Cassie. Cassie's just over
in
there
out of that bunt all night long.
The internet to herself. She hasn't spoken in like, she hasn't having spoken a great in about time 20 minutes.
She hasn't had the chance.
Haven't had the chance. I'm traumatized.
Okay, sorry. So Nick and Jeff were in their early 20s, staying with the family of their friend during Thanksgiving break. And Jeff was sleeping peacefully at the time. And so Nick did what any good friend would do. Nick picked up an air rifle that he was unfamiliar with, aimed it at his friend's chest and fired. He said later he was just trying to wake him up. So imagine his surprise when Jeff started bleeding out blood from his chest. Pronounced dead at the scene.
Sorry, that's just murder. There's no joke. There's no prank. He picked up a gun and shot his mate in the chest.
Well, this is key information, okay? The year before, so a Facebook video from the year before
showed him trying to kill his friend.
Yes. Showed same guy shooting same guy with a BB gun while laughing hysterically. So a BB gun is a fake gun.
Okay.
Or not a fake, but look, whatever it is, it shoots fake kind of pellety things that I think would hurt.
Yes, yeah. They do.
So, yeah.
Oh, sorry, again.
Look, don't fuck with unfamiliar air rifles.
Yeah.
I think that's the lesson.
What is an air rifle? Never mind.
I mean, there's
wrong
the question.
Wrong crowd.
Would an air rifle be something that shoots air very hard?
Maybe.
Air rifle, all I'm getting. I've typed air rifle, got air rifle price. Air rifle for crows is the second. I'm just picturing a very small air rifle that crows carry.
Well, that's the question. Is it air? And is it the kind of thing that would frighten a bird away? A puff of air?
I want an explanation. Okay, so it shoots projectiles. With compressed air.
Oh, I see.
So it's not shooting air.
Still bullets.
It's still shooting stuff.
It's just not using gunpowder. I don't fucking know.
But like, you can get them on Amazon now.
Which is what I'm going for.
IrishShootingSports.ie. You can get yourself an air rifle and accidentally kill your friend in a prank for as little as $555.99.
Bargain.
Bargain.
That's terrible.
Isn't it? I mean,
again, just another argument for...
Do you know as well when your emotions can turn so fast to, you know, the giddy joy of I'm making a prank to the holy horror of this
we've done a bad
dead.
Thing. Yes.
Okay. Mischief maker murdered for egging a car. We've all been there.
Yeah.
The egging, Jesus, that we used to do. And it's fucking... dangerous.
Did you never get egged in the back of the back? It feels like getting shot.
I got egged in the side of my head.
Oh, yeah.
On the way to school.
Oh no.
Yeah, Booterstown Avenue.
Dear, oh dear.
You're a sitting duck.
You are.
It's a long stretch. They see of just pure pavement, nowhere to hide. Okay, so in December of 2006, some shocks, boys were egging a car. They egged a grey Jeep. After which, so after the egging, someone inside just pulled a gun and shot them.
That's the thing about jokes and practical. You just don't know who is on the edge. You know what I mean? This, you could be that final straw.
Yeah.
You never know. Don't risk it, lads.
Yeah. Very dangerous. Okay. This is so bizarre. This led me down another hunt, but I actually didn't get an answer on it. Okay, but here we go. High school senior shot for stealing balloon. This is very similar in terms of you just never know who you're dealing with. But basically, this is a kind of, do you know the end of school traditions?
Yeah.
Like, I think one of ours was like
sanitary towels all over a car.
Yeah, I feel like, was there one that where people would try and carry a car somewhere?
Maybe.
Fish under the desk was
personal. That's right. Someone took a shit on someone's projector, one of the teachers.
Wow.
I can't remember that lady's name. Yeah, it's
horrible. The lady who took the shit?
No,
it was never
uncloaked. There was never a moment
of...
Phantom
pooper.
No, never found out who that was.
The phantom of the... Papara?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I know. Poopra.
Phantom of the poop. Anyway, look, that shitting, phantom shitting thing is all over the place.
Okay, so anyway, here we go. One of the part of their tradition at the end of school here in this school in Anchorage was an elaborate scavenger hunt that led all the kids all around the kind of 17, 18 year old mark around the city. So this is very cute.
That feels wholesome.
I was about to say, do you know why? Because it was in 1992.
Ah,
yeah.
Pre-pedos.
Kind of, yeah. And anyway, so one of the kids snuck into a furniture sort of, it was like the shop and the car park, right? And in the car park, they had a little balloon advertising the shop.
Huh.
And he tried to steal the balloon. Owner of the store ran out with a gun. Now, claimed that he had shot into the air to try and scare the kids off. I mean, literally shooting a gun, reasonable response to anything, I think we can agree. He shot into the air and somehow a bullet fell into this boy's body, killing him and ruining graduation for everyone, is what this article has said.
Ruining graduation for a lot of people.
But then, you know, I started looking into what happens if you shoot a
bullet? That was going to be my next question.
The air. Yeah. And I couldn't get a definitive answer on it.
Because the Americans seem to love doing it. They shoot pew.
Yeah.
All the time.
Okay, totally. What do we know about the physics, the laws of gravity?
Absolutely.
What
fuck
goes
all.
Up
must come down. But does it get as violent as it comes down?
No. But if you think, do a thing like drop a penny from the height of the Eiffel Tower,
that
could
kill somebody.
So why not a bullet from equal
It's got
distance?
To do with something. It's probably got to do with like centrifugal force when you're pulling it back down to the earth.
I see.
Probably. But I don't know if it just Maybe it means the same thing. If it's dropped from a height, then it's a bullet. Surely
it has speed, very aerodynamic.
It's so hard to tell.
But you'd surely really have to be wrong place, wrong time for it to come, because it's very unlikely to come down directly where you shot it up.
I think I think that the physics behind why firing a gun into the air can kill someone.
Here we go.
But now there'll be a fucking paywall.
Join our Patreon/
bullet. Yeah.
I just wanted a listicle. When you fire a gun into the air in celebration, would you fire a gun into the air in celebration if you knew that when the bullet comes down, it could kill somebody? It's no surprise that bullets fired towards target can easily destroy whenever they run to. A bullet from an AK-47 leaves the rifle traveling over 1,500 miles an hour.
Wow.
670 meters per second, about double the speed of sound. Despite only having a mass of about 5 grams, under a fifth of an ounce, it's got the energy of a brick dropped from a 30-story building.
Wow. But so, what happens after it's coming down?
No wonder. But when the bullet is fired up rather than directly, if you performed an experiment on the moon, if the bullet went up at 1,500 miles per hour, then no matter what angle you fired at and how long it took to come back to the lunar surface, it would come back down at 1,500 miles per hour.
That's the moon.
The moon. We're not shooting people on the moon. I hear you. A bullet fired from the moon's surface would be just... Okay, this really isn't getting me anywhere, but... So you want me to stay on the page, you see, for a really long time before I have
Oh, it's like
answer.
Those recipes, you know, when you like... Yeah.
So Gertrude came over for tea and we said to ourselves, bundt cake.
Okay. But on Earth, we have our atmosphere, which means we also have air resistance. A bullet fired straight up with no wind might reach a height of 10,000 feet, about 3 kilometers.
Plane.
But will come back down at only around 150 miles per hour, just 10% of the speed, and with only 1% of the energy as the originally fired bullet. But there are other factors in play. We do have wind, which can make bullets fired even straight up come down to 2 miles away. Not every bullet is fired straight up. Many are fired at an angle. If the bullet never stops or tumbles, it can maintain much greater speeds, many hundreds of miles per hour.
But not near 1,500 or whatever it was originally.
Oh my God, this is such a long...
So
it's on Forbes.
It could definitely...
It's on Forbes. Okay.
It could kill you.
You get a complete... You do a little bit of TLDR if you want. Yeah. I'll tell you another prank.
Yeah.
Just in case listening to people try and make up physics isn't interesting.
But that is interesting. And it did answer our question. It probably could kill you, but nowhere near with the force that the bullet from directly a gun could. Because it's losing all of its speed.
Yeah, yeah.
And directionally could land anywhere.
And very, I suppose, low odds of...
it landing directly on top of your head.
And yet this man claims that is exactly what happened.
Oh dear.
Yeah. But look, I mean, the real tragedy, of course, is graduation compromised.
Debs is off.
The Debs is off. Okay, here's a totally insane one. So this is very like intermission. Do you remember when that kid fucks a stone at the bus driver's window and shatters it? Same thing happened on Halloween night in 2009. And the bus driver was like, no fucking way.
Nice.
And went after
the kid.
The guy. Now, he wasn't a kid. He was 22. Went after the guy.
That'd be me.
In his bus.
Yes, I
mowed him down. Grant. Killed him.
Fine.
Wow.
Driver wasn't charged.
By reason of?
Pranking. No, I don't know.
I wonder.
By reason of what's wrong with America.
Yeah. I feel really vindicated by the fact that the driver was not charged. He was goaded.
Man on the edge.
He was, his life was put into danger by a reckless act by some arsehole. And he then lost leave of his senses and drove the bus into your man's face. I mean, there's a lesson there for us all.
Do you remember in intermission when the kid did it, the bus fucking drove into the canal? It was so good. It's one of the most sad. Look at Cassie, blank faced, has no idea what intermission is.
I know it's a film where the bus topples over.
It's a great film with a young Cillian Murphy, pre-teeth fixed Hollywood sheen.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
very hot.
Do you know, I think we're going to have
Deirdre O'Kane.
Brilliant.
Woman on the Edge. She's fucking brilliant in it. Do you remember when she goes after you one in pennies? Fucking, jeez. I'm going to rewatch that film.
Me too.
Do you remember the one?
I might.
Yeah, you might. You should get involved in
it. I might watch it.
Okay, this one I think is a reach now, frankly.
Anyway. Students steal golf cart, kill cop. Time-honored tradition of driving a golf cart onto your school campus.
Yeah, that seems so innocent.
Yeah.
Now, how has this resulted in a fatality?
Well, wait till you hear it, right? Sergeant Daniel Figgins, 53,
Irish.
Was not letting this go. And so it was five kids who'd stolen the golf cart. Figgins gave chase.
Did he have a heart attack? Because this isn't man's.
Oh, come on.
Heart attack while running after them.
Not murder.
That's not murder. That's, he would have had a heart attack running later on that day.
Like,
again,
they weren't charged with murder. They were charged with attempted burglary. But this headline, very unfair to them. Student steal golf cart, cop dies.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what it should be, not kill a cop. But anyway, that's it. That's the one I'm leaving you on.
Poor Figgins.
Poor Figgins.
He was doing
poor
Figgins, job but to the best of his ability.
Do you know what? If he hadn't of run after that golf cart, he probably would have had a heart attack and been surrounded by people who could have helped him.
Interesting. Did he flee from help?
Did he flee from... I'm not victim blaming.
Now, I wonder as well, did the lads in the golf cart clock that Figgins had dropped?
I was going to say, can they in all honesty say they didn't laugh initially?
I'd say...
From a distance, it just probably looked like a classic fallen security guard falling over.
Yeah. Figgins is down.
We're away, lads. To the...
Whatever you say it.
F.U. Figgins.
F.U. Figgins. They suck on that, had... figures.
Yeah.
I'm going to fig you up, Figgins. Come here and I'm figging the fig.
Okay, McFiggity. He is dead.
Figgins is dead. Someone I apologise to his family and dear family and friends. But, you know, heart attacks happen. Just because they happen in the vicinity of people having their jollies doesn't make those jolliers
responsible.
Jolly. No, no.
Okay.
That was a marvellous. Thank you so
much. That was brilliant.
That threw up a lot of ethical kind of conversations. That will all.
Didn't it though?
That we all, over. Yeah, we did. We stewed on them appropriately. And
we had science. Thank you, Cass.
Yeah, we've hopefully brought you something that you can reflect upon.
We have. We've learned a thing or two.
Haven't we though?
Haven't we? It's been marvellous. Thank you for joining us here tonight on The Creep Dive as we sit together in a room. Or if you don't like the sound of that, just pretend I didn't say it.
Perfect.
Come. We checked regulations. I mean, the actual fact is that we have been, according to regulations, allowed to creep in person, but...
We were actually designated an essential service from the very beginning, but we said, that's a reach. We will stay apart.
You're right. I think broadcasting was...
It was.
Yeah.
Broadcasting for entertainment purposes. And if we do nothing else, we entertain.
Just keeping those people indoors and friendless.
That's what we did.
Come by the patron next, because I am about to tell you all about... how interesting. Johnson & Johnson back on the menu.
Interesting.
Tasty.
And how fucking amazing it is to spin a product that was... You probably do know a bit about the title. Let me just give you a quick BuzzFeed. You remember anything about the TV? No, you're both looking at me blankly.
No, I don't know anything about this. But you're going to tell us that the...
Like the fact
largest,
that you don't know.
A big massive pharmaceutical company has, that we're trusting upon now.
Did nothing wrong, but they were targeted by somebody who... I'll have to get into it in the hive. I won't say no more. I'll say no more.
$4 a month. Patreon.com/creepdive. As GPT-2 so wisely said, come on over, support the show. I'm Sophie White.
And it's not even, it's €3.70 something.
Yeah, and Patreon takes a fair whack of that as well.
Oh, now,
and
so
does the free tote you get when you sign up.
That's
Launcher Larry.
Come on,
by Jennifer O'Sullivan. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. You take Jen anywhere though. Jen's are great.
Oh.
What doesn't go with Jen? But anyway, yeah, designed by the beautiful Jennifer O'Sullivan. Illustrating account on Instagram is @darkbloomjenny.
Yeah, and she's great. And that is fabulous. A great
And you get a personal email from me to you. Now, when I say personal, I copy paste those responses.
Don't let them know.
I
so
know.
You're always
sorry.
Blowing your own cover.
I know.
You really, you just can't help just, it. You're just like, I've got a secret.
I love to blow.
I'm telling you it. Right. Okay, anyway.
What are you talking about? Somebody came over to me and tried to get it out of me who the famous actor was that I mentioned
on
the Creep Live last week. And I said, I cannot
say.
Yeah, I said I've already got so much bad karma out there floating around.
But you might say it on the Hive, would you?
But you could charade it out.
You could charade it out on the Hive. But you never know.
I couldn't possibly.
It's not recorded yet. I'm about to kick off. Creep, see you over there. Thank you so much.
Bye.